You're listening to the Carterville Church Life Podcast. I love our church family, and I hope that you do too. Our goal is that the episodes of this podcast would keep us connected and focused while we're scattered for our week on missions together. I hope that you're blessed by what you hear today.
Hey church, welcome to the Carterville Church Life Podcast. This is another episode of our Student Ministry Fridays. Super looking forward to today's. Before we dive into our podcast and introduce our guest for today, I do want to promote some things going on in our student ministry that I think are super awesome for our parents to potentially engage in. Our student ministry this past Wednesday kicked off a series on Wednesday nights in the book of Colossians entitled Christ is Enough, just looking at how our primary identity in Christ amidst a world and culture full of bad beliefs and false teaching that lessens and diminishes the person of Christ in our lives. And so I'm looking super forward to it and how the Lord's going to work in our students. But simultaneously, I think it's a good opportunity for our families to engage in a reading plan that me and our student ministry have developed through Colossians. You can find it on our Carterville Student Ministry Group Facebook page, or you can find it in the fellowship hall on Wednesday nights, a physical copy of it. So I hope you will take advantage of that, and I'm praying that the Lord will do great things to our families in that. But getting to our podcast today, we have none other than the pastor himself and his wife, Lindsay and Ben. Welcome to the podcast. I mean, I guess not welcome to the podcast because you...
I used to do the podcast.
Usually you're the one that's hosting.
At some point in the future, I'll be back. But for now, we've got...
Corey taking up the torch.
Search committees, task forces. There's a lot going on administratively, so it's going to be a minute. But one day I'll be back.
Yeah. How does it feel to be on the opposite?
Easy.
Like
I have zero pressure because I don't have to carry this conversation.
Yeah.
Kind of like I hope you have good questions over there.
Yeah. Well, I think I do.
Maybe.
So we'll see. But, you know, as we're promoting our Colossian Dream Plan families, I thought this would be an appropriate time to have a podcast for our families to listen to of what does it look like to actually sit down and read scripture as a family. And I know I've been to y'all's house numerous times. And I remember a couple of times you guys actually sitting down with Kay, Ken, and Curry and reading scripture as a family. So tell me, how has that been meaningful to y'all's family in those times?
How's it been? So first question was, what does it look like? Second is, how's it meaningful?
No. What do you find most meaningful reading scripture as a family?
All right, so funny answer first, and then I'll let Lindsay give the serious answer. Sometimes it doesn't feel meaningful at all. Like sometimes it's just the venue for Family Fight 5, right? That's just, I'm saying that seriously.
Not the boys, though, right?
100% the boys. So, you know, sometimes it is just another context for selfishness or fatigue or tension seeking. I mean, sometimes it's just where they bicker and fight again, and we're like, hey, stop. Like, we literally have had nights where we said, all right, everybody stop. I'm fixing it. Hush, close your Bibles. I'm about to pray for us and go to bed.
That's true. Yeah.
All right, so sometimes it doesn't feel super meaningful, but it is still very meaningful. All right, so Lynn, you want to kind of swing for a more serious answer? What's the most meaningful parts about it?
I don't know about what the boys would say, but I know for me, like we've been reading the Bible with our kids in some form or fashion since they were born. Like, you know, we started with those little Jesus Bibles, and I remember one that had funny pictures and.
Can I tell you, those
had
awesome?
Like a big burly John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, was
yeah, he looked like
WWE, man.
Yeah, he looked like a wrestler.
It's supposed to be Samson, though.
Yeah.
He could have been. Right. John the Baptist was ripped, though. No joke.
Like we went through the Action Bible at one point with Curry. Yeah. You know, it's like a comic strip.
Looked like the
Bible.
Comics.
Yeah.
Do you know? Like people laugh about this, but like I'll say this to parents. I know most of the parents listening to your podcast are trying to raise a teenager.
Yeah.
But they might have a fourth grader, second grader. You know, in the wings back there, right?
Yep.
Can I tell you that reading those children's Bibles, good ones, that reading those children's Bibles with our kids was super good for me? Like, I have a seminary degree or two or three, so I'm pretty well educated in the Bible. But reading through those Bible stories with our kids actually helped me at that season of my life really clarify the major arc, the narrative of the story. Because the publishers of those Bibles had been thinking and working to get the essential components of moving the story forward.
Yep.
So as silly as it sounds, like, don't skip that step. That's actually that was a very helpful season.
Yeah.
But meaningful now, for one thing I'd say that's meaningful now, is just that our boys have basic Bible knowledge.
Mm.
Like that sometimes if I say, what did Corey talk about at church tonight? I think sometimes their response is informed by the fact that they've got a layer of the Bible.
Yeah.
Like so when they study something in Sunday school or when you're teaching about something, they have a basic framework to plug those things in. And when I see that fruit, that's what feels meaningful. Not so much that it feels meaningful sitting around the living room that night trying to say, seriously, read the next verse. Come on, wake up, sit up, put your phone up, open your Bible, read the next verse. Not that that's always meaningful, but that gradually, slowly, they have developed a good layer of biblical knowledge and competency. The other thing I would add is meaningful to me is when the boys ask a question.
Mm.
Like one year, and most of this is Lindsay. Like, I'll be honest, like most of the healthy Bible reading in our family comes from Lindsay saying, hey, we need to get the boys together and let's read our Bibles. And I'm grateful to her for that. She's been a better prompter for that than me. But what's very meaningful to me is when they'll ask a question. Like one year she wanted to read the whole Bible through. And so we did. I mean, we were reading that sucker on vacation. We'd get way behind. And we just would catch up on vacation. Like we'd be reading, you know, chapters or listening to audio Bible for chapters.
Yeah.
We did the best we could. But when you're reading some of the Old Testament stories especially, you know, the kids would say, wait a minute, stop. What did they say? And they would challenging passages.
Mm-hmm.
That was meaningful to me. That my kids were getting that in the context of our family and our household.
So I think for me, I know we've already talked for a long time,
you're
but
good. You're good.
My most meaningful thing is interacting with Scripture with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you never read the Bible with your kids, kind of like Ben was saying, them asking questions, but if you never do that with them, if you only let them do that at church or in Sunday school, then you don't get some of those questions, you know, that they may ask. But I think, too, what I hope is most meaningful for them is that they would see that this is a priority for us. Like, I grew up in a good Christian home with great parents, but we did not sit down and read the Bible together. Like, we might sometimes at Christmas, you know.
And we didn't either.
And but I want, yeah, and I want them, I'm not, you know.
Great parents.
Not whatever, bashing them. But I just want my boys to know, think back one day and say, you know, that was important to my parents because we tried to do it. Well, we don't do it every night. I wish I could say we did, but like we tried to do it consistently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I hope will be most meaningful for them. So,
So kind of spin on the second question. You know, you said you guys have been reading Scripture as a family since they were little. Mm-hmm. How has that time, I mean, they're teenagers now, so you've got a span of years.
Yeah.
How have you seen that time as a family reading Scripture shape your kids? And y'all've already talked a little bit about that, but like, thinking of like, you know, have you noticed specific changes that the Lord has done in their heart, maybe because of truth that y'all read together as a family?
Yeah. I would say... definitely. And I would say, I could kind of think back to that year too that we read through the Bible because it just seemed like maybe they were just at the ages where they were really starting to not just listen to it for face value, but to think about it. You know what I mean? I think that was actually 2019 and 2020 when we tackled like, you know, reading every day and reading through the Bible for the year. But I think for them being able to, kind of like Ben said, to have that overarching knowledge of the story of the Bible. And then, like, I think, I can't remember if it was Curry or Cade, that we were reading our Bibles one night and praying, and then he was like, I think it must have been Curry, he was like, I'm ready to get saved. Like, it was during remember that? Yeah. Like, was it Curry or
Cade?
No,
it was not Curry.
Oh, was it Cade?
No, because, I mean, we can talk more in detail.
Okay.
It was not Curry.
Okay.
It was Cannon, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I think it was not Cannon because I was with Cannon when it happened. But anyway, we don't want to discuss it.
I was with Curry.
Okay.
Maybe we should have this often.
Well, anyway, anyway, but it was just like we were having our family prayer time in their room that night.
Oh, yes, you know? In the room, yes.
And
okay,
it, so I thought it was Cade.
So I was with Curry. It was Friday night after a pedal football game in his room. Cade is who you're thinking
of. Okay, then it was Cade. That's what I thought.
I didn't connect that to our family Bible reading time.
Well, we had been in their room praying before bed,
you're
you know,
okay,
and like just that
fair
sweet
deal.
Time of, you know. But I think, too, just them starting to take ownership of it, like you said, the questions and
meaningful for me too was when Curry started trying to read his Bible on his own. Like he's our oldest, and Cade's at that point now too, and really Cannon should not be far behind. But like to see Curry starting to read his Bible on his own, that's been meaningful to me.
Yeah. So you know, I'm sure there are a lot of parents right now if they're listening, they're still thinking, you know. Ben and Lindsay have been in ministry for a while. I mean, both of y'all have seminary degrees. Ben's got a PhD. I mean, there are probably some of our families listening and are like, I am not equipped to lead our family to do this. And so, you know, what are some practical things? Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the most practical things is figuring out the time of when you're going to do that, like the environment.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of our families are probably listening and saying,
we're tired, we're busy,
kids doing extracurriculars, we're getting home from jobs, full-time jobs, we got family to take care of, we got to cook, clean the house, all these things. You know, what were some of the most opportune times for you guys to sit down as a family?
There was a time when the boys were younger and of course we homeschooled, that I would do it in the mornings with them.
And I missed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was always at work by the time they were doing that.
As they got older, we felt like it was better for us all to be together. So we've done it before when we sat down at dinner together sometimes. Mm-hmm. But really what's worked best for us is just right before bed, you know, we kind of gather in the living room and say, okay, we're going to read our chapter or whatever our, you know, we're working through that night. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another practical tip is like to not try to sit down and like, we're going to read five chapters
tonight.
We're
going to read Genesis
tonight. Yeah. Now, if you want to tackle reading through the Bible for a year, I think that's an awesome thing to do as a family, and it's going to be more than one chapter a night. But, like, right now we're just reading a chapter together, you know.
And that's something that, you know, like, you can get there once you've done that, once that's kind of an established habit. Mm-hmm. Then it gets easier to, you know, let's get more deeper into our reading and how much.
I'll say the practical stuff for me, like I thought that was a good question, so I want to throw in some stuff.
Yeah.
Number one, we do have church families who like read in the morning. Like I know some, like whether this is good or bad, I don't know. But I've got friends who in our congregation who they use podcasts like to work through the Bible or
the Bible recap.
Mm. Right. And they'll do that on the way to school every day. It's part of their ritual.
Audio.
And I think there's a lot of value in that. Like that you're driving your kids to school every day and you're redeeming that time with Bible conversations. Mm-hmm. And it's the little consistent.
I'm sure YouVersion. Sorry, I just want to make
YouVersion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
YouVersion would play.
If anybody was listening, YouVersion is the audio.
Amelia Watkins is who I'm thinking of first. So we should ask Amelia what she does.
She uses the Bible recap right now.
Oh, look, you know. Gotcha. You're on top of it. Mm-hmm. All right. So a couple of practical things. The first times we were doing this, we were reading out of whatever translations we had, and we weren't all on the same page. And when our kids were very young, that frustrated them very much, especially my more concrete kid, who was always like, where are you? So Lindsay just, she bought everybody a $25 Bible, the same translation. Mm-hmm. They came in the mail, and now we're reading on the same, you know, everybody's reading the same same translation. That
Which
was practical.
What translation? Just
NIV.
NIV.
All the way.
Okay. But look, it doesn't matter to me. If you like New King
it
James.
It doesn't matter to me either.
If you like New King like James, use New King James. If you like ESV, use ESV. Yeah. Holman Christian Standard, you know, Christian Standard. It doesn't matter. There are lots and lots of great Bibles. And I'm happy to talk to you in private about which Bibles you prefer and why and, you know, translation process. But whatever, just the fact that you're reading the Bible is a big thing.
Yeah.
But that's what we found. That's what we used. So we standardized our translation together just to be on the same page. That was valuable. We found a time that worked for us, which was the end of the day. Do not be hard on yourself. Mm. Like if you miss, there are some nights when we miss. There are some nights where, you know, we watched a movie and everybody was falling asleep on the couch and we just said, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Everybody go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't beat yourself up. This is a marathon. And the fact that you do it, that you attempt to do it on the daily over the long run, is that's where the value is. And so if you miss a few days, if you miss a week, okay, like just repent, fix it, start over and let it roll. But you're doing the right thing. So, and you mentioned the PhD and stuff like that. My kids don't care that I've got a PhD. Yeah. That, in fact, if I start trying to teach the Bible to them, we're done. So I would tell everybody in our congregation, number one, like, come sit in on our Bible reading one night. You will laugh your way out of our driveway.
You will feel fine about whatever you'll go home feeling
very holy about yourself. Because it's not. I mean, it's like we're reading the Bible, and sometimes the kids ask questions. Most of the times they don't. Occasionally I'll say, hey, you know one thing I really like about this passage? And it never has to do with Greek or Hebrew or social settings of the ancient world. It almost always is something that I think is really helpful to my kids following Jesus on that day. But most of the time, it's just as valuable to look up at the kids and go, everybody pick one thing you liked out of that chapter. Mm-hmm. That's more valuable than my seminary degree or hers. And so, I'll be honest with you, those come into play very rarely.
Gotcha. How much, just on, I mean, on average, how much time do you think that time reading scripture with your family?
10.
You say 10?
I mean, but by the time we sit down and read and have a question and pray. Yeah.
So are you counting the 2 minutes we're saying? Go find your Bible. How could you have lost your Bible? Go get your Bible.
It's always something. Look.
Sit up. Yeah. Hey, seriously, come on right now. I'm tired.
I would say it's usually not longer than 15 minutes. That's what I just, it's not like a 30 minute. Like, we're not singing and then, you know, reading and then praying and, you know.
That's why I want to give some context.
Yeah, like, I mean.
It's not, we're not talking about like this whole hour worship service that we do.
Well, in reality, it only, I mean, most chapters in your Bible, you'd read in less than 5 minutes. Yeah. Just sit, open one, read it out loud, and time yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it takes just a little bit longer than that. And on those nights when the kids want to talk, you'll be glad to stretch it out to 10 or 15 minutes to talk and chat and answer questions, you know?
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's very short.
So, parents listening right now, and they're tracking with us, say, it would be really cool for the Lord to do, for us to start as a family reading scripture together.
Okay. Good time.
Let's say their first time doing this, first time, you know, mom and dad trying to lead this. What is the do's and don'ts? What are the, like, realistic expectations, right, for that time? What would you say?
I think when our kids were younger and we started, we did go through a time where we tried to have, like, family worship and sing and, you know, and that was fine. But, like, I remember listening, this was years ago, I remember listening to a podcast by Andy Stanley, and he was saying, you know, talking about their family worship time or Bible reading time or whatever. And he was talking about his kids, you know, falling down the stairs and farting and doing stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad. Like, we're not the only ones with knuckleheads, you know. And so I think just to, like, just relax and remember that they're kids. And then if you do it at the end of the day, that they're going to be tired, you know.
Just
and,
like you are.
Yeah, just like we are. And that, I guess, just don't try to make it like this big holy thing. Like, you know, like, you're opening God's word together, and we know that his word will not return void. And so, like, I think just establishing that healthy pattern, and then, like I said before, of, like, just letting your kids know that this is important. You know, like, I mean, if your kid wanted to come and watch all the Star Wars movie all the way through, you would say, sure, let's do it. And you would do it every night until it was done, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, I think we just need to really show them that God's word is a priority to us, and this is an easy way to do it. It is not rocket science, you know. Mm-hmm. So that would be a tip, is, like, just to not set these lofty goals and say, we're going to all sit perfectly still and be quiet and do this, you know. Another tip that I would say is, if your kid can read, let them, like, y'all break it up, you know. Even if everybody's just reading one verse, it helps them stay engaged. Like, we have a kid who's dyslexic it took them forever to read, like, even just a verse when he was younger, you know. But we still did it, you know. And so I think if your kid is old enough to read, let them participate and just, you know, you know, take 100%. A little chunk, a passage each and move around the room or whatever. I think that helps
if
them
you don't
stay engaged.
Tune out.
Yeah, if they don't, you know, they're not paying attention, so.
I would also say be careful, especially dads, like, be careful that it doesn't become the next stomping grounds or pride contest, like, because there's going to be times, with teenagers especially, where, you know, they don't want to be there, they want to be online with their friends or finishing a chat or whatever, and you're saying, no, this is what we want to do. And if they say, I don't feel like reading, there are some nights that the best thing you should do is say, cool, do you mind hanging tight right there and let us read?
Mm-hmm.
You just respect the family and sit there.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean the kid's an atheist. It means he's mad, right?
Yep.
And he was butt-headed with that.
Hormones going through.
Right.
But as a dad, for me, I look up and I want to win, right? I want to say, over my dead body, I told you to read your Bible, son. You're going to read it for the glory of the Lord. And that's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
You're better off to let him pass, you know, when he wakes up in the morning, tell him you love him, and tell him why it matters to you. Yeah. But don't let it become a pride contest. I've done that some, I think.
Yeah. Well, do y'all have anything else to share?
I think Colossians is a good start, man. Like, aim small, so I'm assuming that you're going to break up Colossians into small bits. Like,
yeah, I looked at them.
Yeah,
it's real short.
Let me have a look at it.
I think another tip I would say is don't set so many rules that it's something your kids dread, you know? Yeah. Like, let them, if they want to sit on the couch with their blanket or lay and, you know, like, you don't want them to look back and think, oh my gosh, we had to read the Bible every night and it was horrible. Dad always got mad and Mom was upset, you know, like, so, and also we always end with prayer time. So just asking your kids after you read, like, hey, what do you have going on that I can be praying for? You know, like, just kind of connect, have it given it, giving them a chance to open up and connect with them could be more important than even the Bible passage you just read, you know?
And so, I think sometimes as you pray for them in that moment, like, you're not preaching to them in the prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, Lord, help my son stop back talking to his brother. Although sometimes that's kind of how you want to
do that.
But rather, when you pray for them in that time, man, if you have some empathy for your kids, you can really intercede well as the priest of your home.
Yeah.
And when they hear that your prayer demonstrates that you have seen them this week, that you recognize the fear they had this afternoon, or the loneliness they're feeling, or the frustration. Mm-hmm. You don't embarrass them. You got to be careful. You're in the context of their brothers or sisters or whatever. But I think just them knowing that so sometimes our kids pray, and, you know, a lot of times our kids, just like everybody else's kids, who wants to pray? And sometimes they just don't, right? Now, sometimes no problem at all. Hey, would you pray? Yeah, absolutely. And our kids go through phases, like with their insecurities and all the other things in adolescence. Mm-hmm. I'll have a kid who'll pray, read, do whatever, and then he'll like radio silence for a while. Like, he'll go through a season where he doesn't want to read out loud, doesn't want to.
Yeah.
And for me, just I want to fix that and win, but just learn to let that ride for a minute. That it's just part of the roller coaster of self identity development in that adolescent phase. He's going to come back around, right? So. I don't know. I think that's... Look, I'm looking at your sheet. I mean, you're talking about reading 3 or 4 verses a day.
Yeah.
So this doesn't take 10 minutes. This takes... But at the same time, you could read the whole chapter or half the chapter and then go back and focus on these two verses.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, like, you could read the half a chapter that this happens in and then go back and focus on the 3 or 4 verses that your youth minister is assigning you here with Corey.
Yeah.
And chat about that, pray together, and go to bed. But the bottom line is you'd be developing a habit you'd be glad you got.
To end off the podcast, just reminded of a truth that I think every time Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, it always started with something small, and it grew.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times in my life, I ignore the little things that would help me love Jesus more. I think this is a little thing that we can potentially neglect. You know, just 10, I'm talking about 10 minutes, you know,
or less,
you know, 5 minutes in the car on the way to school, busy, you know, just stopping.
So I think, and I know our podcast, I'm looking at the time marker. Yeah. I know that our podcast is getting long and you might do another podcast on this one day.
No, you're good.
Like, Lynn's and I are teaching a marriage class right now. And one of the things I say to couples that are, you know, getting married or whatever, is that, like, we think about marriage as if it's a few grand moments, a big wedding, you know, your big vacation, anniversary. It's really not. It's really millions and millions of minute little tiny moments that come together. Almost some that seem so inconsequential. Whether you got her coffee, you know, whether you held hands, just little small tiny text messages to check on you. Your marriage is more a million tiny minutes than it is the handful of big landmarks, your 50th anniversary or whatever they come up. Same thing for parenting, right? And spiritual formation for your kids. Your kids' spiritual formation is going to have some big journey. You know, their first day in the sanctuary for big church. You know, their first Easter, baptism. You know, the day they got baptized and saved. You're just going to have those big markers. You know, the day that God called them to ministry and they said yes. The first day in the youth group. You know, the day they went off to college and found a church. You know, when they started teaching Sunday school. They're going to have these spiritual formation huge markers. Somebody discipled them. But what I want to say is, in the household, your spiritual formation for your kids is probably more like your marriage, too, in that it's actually the 8 million tiny things. You've given them biblical counsel, praying for them well, just tiny, simple Bible reading that didn't seem like it did anything. You know, daily rhythm of a little bit of Bible reading, you know, all the time. I have a hunch that those small and consistent things are going to have more of an impact shaping your kids spiritually than the handful of big things. So this won't feel like it did anything great. you're not going to feel holy because you did it. You're not going to feel like you just, you know, made your kids safe spiritually.
Yeah.
You know, resists all temptation now, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think this is the kind of thing that we need to be doing as priests, doing the daily maintenance with our kids. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to impact your kids' worldview, spiritual formation, affection for God, knowledge of your mm-hmm. life and your journey. I think it's going to be much bigger than it feels like it is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for that encouragement. Hey, thanks for tuning in to our podcast. Tune in next Friday for the next episode of Student Ministry Fridays. If you're a parent and are interested in the reading plan, saying let's start reading scripture for 10 minutes, 5 minutes on the way to school as a family with your students, let me encourage you to check out our Facebook page, our Student Ministry Facebook page, or in the Fellowship Hall in our Student Ministry area resource area to find the reading plan for Colossians. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon.